بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim followers from whatever he feared for them. We have been talking about the great Imam and companion, the forthrightly guided Caliph, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu. And we mentioned in our previous lesson that three of the Khawarij had agreed to kill Muawiyah, Amr ibn al-As, and Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the two who decided to kill Muawiyah and Amr failed, but the one who decided to kill Imam Ali succeeded in his plot. And in the year 40 Hijri, on Friday, the 17th night of Ramadan, this man, Ibn Muljam, killed Imam Ali radiyallahu anhu. He was buried on Sunday night, the night of Sunday. And we said that his family on purpose did not make his grave known so that it would not be dug up by these Khawarij renegades. And then we mentioned some of the merits of Imam Ali radiyallahu anhu. And today, inshallah, we want to say more of his good things, of his qualities, something of his life. Imam Ali radiyallahu anhu was the first to recommend writing down the rules for the Arabic grammar. Arabs, of course, used to speak the Arabic correctly, but there were no rules written down what should be done for the grammar. And because many non-Arabs embraced Islam and they were mingling with the Arab Muslims, some of the Arab Muslims' Arabic became weaker. So Imam Ali radiallahu anhu suggested to a great tabi'i, to a great scholar from At-Tabi'un, from the followers of the companion. And his name is Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali. So Imam Ali instructed him to write the rules for the Arabic grammar. And of course, Muslims have benefited from this suggestion since then. Imam Ali radiallahu anhu had several wives and many female slaves who gave birth to many children with him. His first wife, Fatima, was the Prophet's daughter, as you already know. And we mentioned that he did not marry another woman while she was alive. After her death, then Imam Ali married other women. We mentioned that with Fatima, Imam Ali had Al-Hasan, his eldest son, Al-Husayn, Muhsin, who died when he was a baby, Zainab, that's a girl, and Umm Kulthum. So those three boys and two girls from Lady Fatima radiallahu anha. After Fatima died, Imam Ali married a woman called Ummul Baneen. Ummul Baneen. And she was the daughter of Hizam. From this woman, from Ummul Baneen, Ali had Al-Abbas, Ja'far, Abdullah, and Uthman. Four sons. He had Al-Abbas, Ja'far, Abdullah, and Uthman. Four sons from this wife. Also, he married another woman called Layla bint Mas'ud. Layla, the daughter of Mas'ud. And she was from the tribe of Tamim. Together they had Ubaydullah and Abu Bakr. He had these two sons from Ummul Baneen, from Layla, sorry, bint Mas'ud. He had Ubaydullah and Abu Bakr. Also he married Lady Asma bint Umays. Asma, the daughter of Umays. And this Asma bint Umays is not the same as Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr. Two different wives. Two different women. And with Lady Asma bint Umays, Imam Ali had two sons, Muhammad and Yahya. So you could see after Lady Fatima, Imam Ali had with these three wives so many sons. This woman, Asma bint Umays, she was formerly, before she married Imam Ali, she was the wife of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. And before she was married to Abu Bakr, she was married to Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, Ali's brother. So Asma bint Umays was married to Ja'far. Ja'far, the son of Abu Talib, who is Ali's brother. Ja'far was martyred in the battle. Then, after she was widowed, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq married her. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq died. Now she is a widow another time. So Ali ibn Abi Talib married her, and he had two children with her, Muhammad and Yahya. And Asma, this wife of Ali, she had Muhammad from Ali. She had Muhammad from Ja'far and Muhammad from Abu Bakr. So she had three different Muhammads. So one day, Muhammad, the son of Abu Bakr, from, means the son of this lady from Abu Bakr, and Muhammad, the son of this lady from Ja'far. So you have two Muhammads, two sons, and they were talking to each other, and they were bragging about their fathers, like, I'm Muhammad, the son of Abu Bakr, I'm Muhammad, the son of Ja'far. So they were bragging together. So Ali radiallahu anhu saw them, and because they have a common mother, Asma, his present wife, he told her, you interfere, you settle down, these are your two sons, so you settle down the issue between them. They are your sons from your former husbands. So she wisely said, so means Muhammad, the son of Abu Bakr, says, I'm better. And Ja'far, the son of Muhammad, the son of Ja'far, I'm saying, I'm better. So Lady Asma said, I never saw a sheikh, means an older man, better than Abu Bakr. I never saw a sheikh, an older man, than Abu Bakr. And nor did I see a young man better than Ja'far. So she married these two men. She said, I never saw an older man better than Abu Bakr. And I never saw a young man better than Ja'far, her first husband. So Ali radiallahu anhu left. And he said, where does this leave me? Means you praised Abu Bakr and you praised Ja'far, your previous husbands. I'm your husband now, where do I fit? So he wasn't mad with her. He didn't feel jealous that she mentioned her previous husbands, Abu Bakr and Ja'far. Ja'far is his own brother, so he didn't feel, you know, jealous of his own father and brother. And Abu Bakr, we know, he had a great respect for Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. So, this, in such an incident, shows how much respect and love Ali ibn Abi Talib had for Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Also, beyond these three wives that we mentioned, Ali had other wives. And Umama was one of his wives, and she was the daughter of Ar-Rabi'. She was the daughter of Zainab, the daughter of the Prophet. So Umama bint al-Rabi' was the daughter of Zainab, who was the daughter of the Prophet. So he married the granddaughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her name was Umama. So her father was al-Rabi', her mother was Zainab. So it's called Umama bint al-Rabi' or Umama, the daughter of al-Rabi'. So Ali, among his wives, had this lady. Also, beyond the wives, in addition to the wives, he had many female slaves. And one of those female slaves gave birth to a son called Umar. And her name was As-Sahba. So this female slave gave a son to Ali, called Umar. And then this son of Ali, this Umar, lived to be 85 years old and was one of five of Ali's son to outlive him, to live after him. So Al-Hasan outlived his son, Ali. Al-Husayn outlived Ali. This son, Umar, outlived Ali, and there were more. So, five sons of Ali outlived him. Three of those are Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn, and this man Umar, plus other. So, Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn, Muhammad, remember when Ali was dying, he gave a recommendation, advice to his sons. There were three. Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn, and Muhammad, the son of a female slave called Al-Hanafiyya. Al-Abbas and this Umar that we mentioned. Ali had 14 sons in all and 17 or 18 daughters, radiyallahu anhu. There are some amazing stories about Imam Ali radiyallahu anhu, so we are giving you more and more of his life. There is a hafiz called Abdul Razzaq. He narrated from a man called Hujr al-Madari. He was a tabi'i. He was a follower of the companions. And this man was a very highly scholar, very highly ranked scholar. He was from the followers of the companions. He accompanied Ali for a long time. So, and he served Ali radiallahu anhu. So he was very close to Ali. So his name is Hujr al-Madari. Al-Madari is because he was from a town in al-Yemen called Madar. So they call him al-Madari. So this Hujr said, Ali said to him, what would you do if you were ordered to damn me, to curse me? What would you do if, means a day came, when you are ordered, given order to damn me, to curse me? Hajar said, this will happen. I mean, there will come a day when I will be ordered to damn you. Ali said, yes. Hajar asked Ali, what should I do when that day comes? What should I do? Ali radiallahu anhu said, damn me, but do not disown me. إِلْعَنِّي وَلَا تَتَبَرَّأْ مِنِّي. He said, damn me, when they order you to do that, damn me, but do not disown me. Then, later, time passed, Muawiyah al-Hassan became the caliph, as we're going to talk about it later. Then Muawiyah became the caliph, and then Yazid, and this Yazid had governors, tyrants. One of those tyrants was ruling in Iraq, in Yemen, sorry. And his name was Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Muhammad, the son of Yusuf al-Thaqafi. And he had a brother, a tyrant like him, who was the governor for the Umayyads in Iraq, called al-Hajjaj, the son of Yusuf al-Thaqafi. These two were very, you know, unjust to people. They were skilled in doing injustice to people. They would do things that sometimes, you know, would boggle your mind. You would say, that how much? I mean, this is a Muslim governor, and he does so and so of injustice to Muslims. So, this governor, Muhammad, the son of Yusuf al-Thaqafi, he ordered Hujr to damn Ali. He was given khutbah, Friday speech. He finished. He said, why don't you damn Ali? Damn Ali. Curse him. So Hujr said to Muhammad in front of people, to this governor, he said, the governor has ordered me to damn Ali. So, damn him. So, only one man sitting there picked up what this man said. He said, the governor ordered me to damn Ali. Damn him. So, he was referring to the governor, not to Ali. He was just telling people, damn the governor, because he's ordering me to damn Ali. But the governor thought that Hujr was just carrying his order, and many people who were present were not happy because of what Hujr did, because they did not understand what he said. Only one man picked up what Hujr said, and he, you know, expressed it. So this man did carry the order of saying, damn him. So Ali had told him, damn me, when he told you. So he said, damn him. But he wasn't referring to Ali, and he, of course, did not disown Ali, did not say Ali wasn't a caliph, he wasn't a righteous person, etc. He didn't say that. So he did not add to the damning anything else that shows he disowned Ali, radiallahu anhu. So this was, you know, one of the incidents concerning Ali. And of course, this shows that Ali was a wali. How would he know that there will come a day when he would be damned? Okay. He doesn't know. Allah is the only one who knows all the future. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses some people, prophets or otherwise, to know certain things in the future. One thing or two things, but not all the time and not all the future. Also, sometimes Ali ibn Abi Talib, as we mentioned in previous lessons, he would say something would happen in the future because he had heard the Prophet say to him that this will happen with or to you in the future. Like the account that the Prophet told him he would be killed and his boo would be bleeding. Another amazing story is a story told by another companion. You know, Ali was a companion of the Prophet. This is another companion of the Prophet named Zir with a shadda, Ibn Hubaysh. Zir Ibn Hubaysh. Zayd ibn Hubaysh was a great, you know, companion of the Prophet. One of the distinguished things about him is that he dedicated his time to recite Al-Quran, to teach people recitation of Al-Quran. So when we recite Al-Quran, there's a chain. For example, people say Hafs from Asim, okay? And then the chain goes to Zir ibn Hubaysh, who learned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and other companions. So this Zir, he said, two men sat to eat their lunch. Two men sat to eat their lunch. One had five loaves of bread, and the other one had three loaves of bread. So how many did they have both? Eight loaves. So they put their loaves together to share, just to sit and eat. When a man passed by them, so they sat to eat, and then a man passed by them, they invited him to share with them the eight loaves. So how many men do we have now? Three. And how many loaves? Eight. So they all ate, supposedly equally, because they shared three ways. The third man, the guest who came, he finished eating and he wanted to leave. He threw eight dirhams, means silver money, for these two people, for the part of bread that he ate with them. So he said, those eight dirhams for the bread that I ate with you. So, now, how are they going to split those eight dirhams? The one with the five loaves said, I deserve five of these dirhams. And you take three, you know, dirhams for the other guy. But the one with the three loaves said, no, let's split them equally. I take four, you take four. So they argued with each other. They could not agree. So they went to someone who can settle, you know, their difference. Of course, they went to Imam Ali radiallahu anhu. He was the caliph, and of course, one of the most knowledgeable in judicial matters, as said by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So they explained what happened with them. So Imam Ali looked at the man with the three loaves, who said, I want to split the money equally, but his friend wants to give him how much? Three, because he had three loaves. So Imam Ali said, accept what he offered you. Take those three dirhams and be happy. Yani. But he said, no, I swear I want fairness. I swear I want fairness. Fairness, even if it's bitter. Even if it's bitter, I want the fair thing to take place. Imam Ali said, well, then if it is the bitterness of fairness that you are seeking, then you deserve to receive one dirham and your friend seven. So, instead of taking three now, he would be taking what? One. But his friend, you know, he wanted how much? Four. So he didn't get the four. And Ali is telling him, you deserve what? One dirham. So the man who had the three loaves, and now Imam Ali tell him, you deserve one dirham, said, could you please explain to me? I know it's, you know, you said this is fair and it's bitter, but I want to understand, how would I deserve only one dirham? So Imam Ali explained. You're going to, inshallah, now try to remember your fractions that you learned in elementary school, maybe. Okay? But I'll say it slowly, inshallah, and inshallah it will be easy. But you will see how intelligent Imam Ali was. He didn't go to college. And so, he told him, do we not have, remember, eight loaves, eight dirhams, okay? Five loaves and three loaves, that's how they were divided. So he said, do we not have 24 thirds in the 8 loaves, when they were combined, we have 8. Does not the 8 equal to 24 divided by 3? That's 24 thirds. And you know why he said thirds? Because there were 3 people. Okay? So, he said, you 3 men are the 24, you ate the 24 thirds. And we don't know who ate more, so we'll assume you ate equally. So you ate thirds, ate 8 thirds, you ate 8 thirds, and the third man ate 8 thirds. That makes it 24 thirds, 8 loaves. And he said, he's addressing who? The man with the 3 loaves, the one who wanted the bitter fairness. Okay? He told him, you ate 8 out of those thirds. You ate because 8 over 3, 8 over 3, 8 over 3. Each one ate that much, isn't it? Maybe the word 8 now is confusing with the 8. So let's say you consumed 8, okay, out of those 24. 24 what? Thirds, okay? And you put on, you contributed only 9 thirds. Because how many loaves did he contribute? 3. And the 3 are 9 thirds, isn't it? So he contributed 9 thirds and he consumed 8 thirds. How many thirds are left? 1 third. He said, your friend put in 15 of those thirds. Because he contributed 5 loaves and 5 is 15 thirds. Okay? And he ate, he consumed 8 thirds. How much is left? 15 minus 8 is 7. So he, the remaining bread is 7 thirds. So the remaining for you is 1 third. The remaining for your friend is 7 thirds. Who ate those 8 thirds? The guest, isn't it? And he gave 8 dirhams. So because your friend, you know, did not consume 7, and you did not consume 1, so his share is 7, and your share is 1, 7 to 1. And that man, of course, understood, and he accepted it. So you could see that, you know, and Imam Ali did it on the spot, meaning just like a piece of paper and a calculator and so on. He did it in his head, and he resolved their problem. Now, during his caliphate, during the caliphate of Imam Ali radiallahu anhu, many great people died. We will mention few. Some of them were companions and some of them were other than companions. And some of them died and some of them were killed. So their death was through killing. One of those was Hudhaifah ibn al-Yaman, the great companion, we mentioned him more than once. Talha, one of the 10. Az-Zubayr, one of the 10. Salman al-Farisi, Salman the Persian. Ammar ibn Yasir, the one who was tortured in Mecca. Then Khabbab ibn al-Arat, we mentioned him in previous lessons. Also, among the dead people during Ali's caliphate was the companion called Suhaib with a ha, is known Suhaib al-Rumi, Suhaib the Roman. Tamim al-Dari, Tamim, the companion from that is al-Dari. Muhammad, the son of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, we mentioned him. And one of the tabi'un, the greatest tabi'i, Uwais al-Qarani, plus many, but those are the ones that we want to mention. So let me mention them again. Companions, Hudhaifah ibn al-Yaman, Talhat al-Khair, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Salman al-Farisi, Ammar ibn Yasir, Khabbab ibn al-Arat, with a shadda, Suhaib al-Rumi, Tamim al-Bari, Muhammad the son of Abu Bakr. So all of these are companions that I mentioned, and the only Tabi'i that I want to mention was the best of the Tabi'in, Uwais al-Qarani. And inshallah we will be mentioning short account of the lives of some of those we mentioned today. So let me start with one of these companions who died during the Caliphate of Ali, our master, the companion Suhaib ibn Sinan ibn Malik, and his kunya was Abu Yahya. He is known as the Roman, Ar-Rumi. And he really was not a Roman, he was an Arab. But there is a reason why they called him the Roman. He used to be the son of a ruler in Iraq. And this ruler, his father, was among the Arabs that supported the Persians. Remember, the Arab tribes were split between the Romans and the Persians. So his father was a ruler in Iraq, and they were allies of the Persians. So in one day, the Romans attacked those Arabs, and they took Suhaib as a prisoner. And so he stayed among them for a long time as a prisoner of war. So while he was there, he picked up the language of the Romans, and his Arabic became what? Weak, because he stayed for a long time with them, not speaking Arabic. So his Arabic got weaker, and he was bought by some Arab. He came to Mecca as a slave, and then he was speaking with an accent, just like you hear me speaking English with an accent. This Roman was speaking, this Suhaib was speaking with an accent because he was far from the Arabs for some time. So it took him a while to retrieve his Arabic, but still people could, notice some accent in his Arabic. And he was known as the Roman. He's the one who lived with the Romans for a long time. So, Roman here doesn't mean that he was a Roman. Now, he was, this Suhaib radiallahu anhu, was among our Prophet Muhammad's first followers. And when he embraced Islam, he embraced Islam with Ammar ibn Yasir. Remember Ammar, his mother was Sumayyah, and his father was Yasir. And both parents were killed under torture by the people of Mecca. And Ammar himself was tortured, but, he did not die under torture. He was saved. It means he was bought and set free. And they met at the door of a house in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam secretly was meeting with Muslims, with the people who were embracing Islam in Mecca. So they asked, one asked the other, "Where are you going?" And the other guy says, "Where are you going?" And they said, "Oh, I want to go in and hear this man Muhammad, what he's saying." He said, "Oh, I'm doing the same." And then when they went in, both of them, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, spoke to them, and both embraced Islam at the hands of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, he had a very red complexion, Suhaib radiallahu anhu, and a thick head, hair on his head, and he used to diet with henna. Now, of course, when he became a Muslim, he was among the weak people in Mecca, okay? And he was tortured because of his adherence to Islam. Now, when Suhaib received the order to emigrate to Medina, remember the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ordered the Muslims to leave Mecca to go to Medina. It was an obligation to emigrate. He was one of the last people to do so. He went with Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. And when he was emigrating, Suhaib was emigrating, a group of idol worshippers followed him to prevent him from going. They knew that he was leaving Mecca to Medina. They chased him and they stopped him. They didn't want him to go. Suhaib said to them, "You know that I'm one of the most skillful archers. Means I can hit you with ease. And I could keep shooting arrows until I run out. Then I would charge at you with my sword." Means I'm not afraid of you. I'm gonna not surrender to you. I can all do all of that if I want. Keep on shooting arrows at you. If I run out, I'm gonna charge at you with my sword. If you want to know where my money is, I will tell you so that you leave me alone. It means I'm gonna do a deal with you. I'll tell you where I hid my money. You get my money, and at the same time you leave me, you know, let me go to Medina. So they agreed. Suhaib told them where his money was hidden in Mecca. They believed him, of course, and then they left him to take his money instead. And of course, to assure you that they were not men of principle. When he offered the money, they let him go. So when Suhaib arrived in Al-Madina, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam greeted him warmly. And he said, "Suhaib won in that contract that he made. رَبِحَ الْبَيْعَ Suhaib أَوْ رَبِحَ أَبُو يَحْيَى." So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, he greeted him warmly, greeted Suhaib warmly, and he said that he won the contract, the deal that he made with these idol worshippers. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made it clear that Suhaib was really a winner. He emigrated and obeyed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he did not care about his money. And ayah in Al-Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 207, Allah revealed, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. The ayah says there are people who sell, literally, sell themselves for the sake of Allah, which means they sell their wealth. They offer their wealth for the sake of Allah. Because what did Suhaib do? He offered his money for the sake of obeying the Prophet going to Al-Madinah. So this is an ayah in which Suhaib was praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before our master Umar died, you know, our master Umar was killed. Before he died, he ordered that Suhaib would lead the funeral prayer for him. He ordered that Suhaib would lead the funeral prayer for him. Also, Umar ordered that Suhaib remain the imam of the prayers until it was settled who the new caliph would be. Remember, Umar was, you know, stabbed so many times, he did not die immediately. So he said, Suhaib will lead, you know, if I die, Suhaib will lead the funeral prayer for me. But meanwhile, Umar was injured. So someone other than Umar had to lead the Muslims in prayer in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Umar ordered Suhaib to be that leader, that imam. Suhaib said, I was never absent from any important battle that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam attended. And I never allowed the enemy to be between me and the Prophet. This means he was always in the front and always protecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he did not miss any of those ghazwas, those campaigns that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam led. So this is just a short account of the life of Suhaib radiallahu anhu. He died in the year 38 Hijri at the age of 70. At the age of 70 years. His own children and grandsons narrated hadith from him. So they would narrate hadith from him back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir, one of the companions, and several followers of the companions, several tabi'un, also narrated from Suhaib. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant Suhaib many blessings. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And Allah knows best. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم